God's Word is a lamp that lights the way for our feet as we follow the path of faith. Please rise as you are able and join me in the call to worship, which is based on God's Word as found in Psalm 123. To you I lift up my eyes, you who rule heaven.
Just as the eyes of servants look to their master's hand, as the eyes of a maid to the hand of her mistress, so our eyes look to the Lord our God, until he has mercy upon us.
Have mercy on us, Lord, have mercy, because we had more than enough of contempt.
Good morning. Just a little bit of a recap from last week and our mission project for this month. Again, we are collecting money for Peruvian children. I'm really glad that we're doing this. One, because we have a relationship with Chenoa, and she will be making sure that our money goes where it will be used well. We picked two organizations. One of them is the School for Deaf Children, because their public schools don't do anything to help the children who are deaf and help them with their sign language. The other one is the House of God Presbyterian Church. They had accrued some money and were going to build a church, but instead, during this pandemic, they've been using that money to make bags of or boxes of groceries and things like that, food that they can use. And they'll come together maybe and bring, one will bring this, one will bring that, and they'll make a meal out of it, and a time of sharing and a time of community. From what I've been reading from Chenoa, this is definitely the epitome of community. Which brings me to the Super Bowl, which the community again came together this year, and with our no-show Super Bowl, we made $15,000, which should go to about, once we get all the proceeds are gone, maybe just around $3,000 for each of the five recipients. So again, the community came together in this time, and I thank all of you who donated, bought tickets, donated money, whatever, to help our community with hunger. Thank you.
Blessed and sure. Thank you so much, Corey. It is always a joy when our younger members step forward in faith to help lead this congregation. We've had some of our newest members from the confirmation class as readers. We've had now Corey as a vocalist. We are blessed. God's message will always continue because of people like them. And we needed to hear how we are blessed, that we can rest assured that in Jesus Christ we are forgiven. Today's story from Matthew is really rather shocking. It would have us think that we are going another direction, that we are not so blessed. But listen, and you will hear God's love for us in these words. It's buried, but it's there. Matthew 25, beginning at verse 14. For it is as if a man, going on a journey, summoned his slaves and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. The one who had received the 5 talents went off at once and traded with them and made 5 more talents. In the same way, the one who had the 2 talents made 2 more talents. But the one who had received the 1 talent went off and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. Then the one who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 more talents, saying, Master, you handed over to me 5 talents. See, I have made 5 more talents. His master said to him, Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. And the one with the 2 talents also came forward, saying, Master, you handed over to me 2 talents. See, I have made 2 more talents. His master said to him, Well done, good and trusty slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. Then the one who had received the 1 talent also came forward, saying, Master, I knew that you were a harsh man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you did not scatter seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours. But his master replied, You wicked and lazy slave, you knew, did you, that I reap where I did not sow and gather where I did not scatter? Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and upon my return, I would have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to the one with the 10 talents, for to all those who have, more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away. As for this worthless slave, throw him into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Near Christmas of 1812, Jacob and his brother Wilhelm Grimm published their first collection of fairy tales. And 200 years later, they're still being read. So some biography about these two brothers. I didn't know all these things. Their father was a highly respected judge, but he died of pneumonia while the boys were really quite young. That left the family all but destitute. Life was hard. But their grandfather made sure the brothers were given a university education. Yes, they had to find their own way to pay for room and board, but they were educated. Things got worse when their mother died, and the two were charged with caring for their younger siblings. Then Wilhelm became ill with scarlet fever. He almost died. So many hardships. So many hardships. And sadly, most people's lives in those days were filled with pain and grief. Modern medicine had not yet evolved. Well, his recovery did take months. And while he was too weak to do much else, he spent time exploring a newfound passion. Yes, folklore stories. And it wasn't long before Jacob, his brother, also discovered the tales which, rather like today's Hunger Games and Twilight series, tended to focus on dark and frightening themes. And it's out of this fascination with the macabre, as well as their pain-filled life histories, that these two young men began adapting old stories for new audiences. Pretty interesting, right? But don't you wonder why stories like Snow White and Rapunzel and the goose that laid the golden egg are called fairy tales? I mean, I always think of Tinkerbell when fairies are mentioned, not evil stepmothers trying to poison princesses with apples or locking them up in towers, or fathers slaughtering birds to find gold. I never liked being scared by books or movies. But lots of folks actually do enjoy horror films. So there it is. You know, Jesus' story in this lesson from Matthew fits into this scary story category. It begins innocently enough, but that ending, wow. Perhaps we should just think of it as a simple reminder that if we do our jobs well, we will be blessed with riches. Isn't that what the master did for the first two servants? Not exactly. The master had entrusted the slaves with his treasure. He was pleased to see how much return his investment had brought him. But he didn't give that money to the slaves. No, he gave them more work to do. He put them in charge of many more duties. Well, maybe we should use this story instead as a way to encourage people to donate more to the church. Give more or else. Probably not a good idea. Coercion is off-putting for most folks, especially on Stewardship Sunday, right, Lou? Yeah. So what is Jesus trying to pass along to his listeners with this Grimm's fairy tale story? If you consider the whole of the Gospel of Matthew, you will remember that this story occurs during what we know as Holy Week. Jesus believes his life is nearing its end. He realizes that he still has so much to share with his disciples, but so very little time. He's in now or never mode. Jesus has tried to bring the 12 along with the Beatitudes on the Mount and parables that focus on how seeds, when planted in different soils, fare and grow. He's healed withered hands for people and even made a dying Samaritan girl well after her mother expresses great faith in him. But the time for him to face his crucifixion is now near, and the time for gentle lessons, it's over. So Jesus chooses words that jolt his audience into wakefulness. The master in this story is doing everything he can to prepare his disciples to live without him, just like the master in the story. You see, this master, Jesus, he's going away. So to move them to action, Jesus is telling this amazing, scary, dark story, better suited to Halloween than Christmas. There's more than what meets our eyes, though, that makes this tale amazing. The talents. The master entrusted each servant with a valuable coin. No, these weren't gifts. The way the story is written implies the servants are to take care of the money just as would the master. And this guy is smart. He gave each one only the amount he believed that slave could manage. So far, so good, right? Now, here's what's amazing. Each talent was worth about $1.5 million in today's money. $1.5 million. That's more than most of us make in all of our lives. It doesn't matter how many talents each was given, one or five or ten, several million dollars is an incredible sum. And on top of that, when the master returns, he welcomes the first two servants into his joy. And that's like promoting them into partnership or perhaps even equality with the master. Maybe. Yet the third servant buries his coin in a coffee can in the backyard. He tells his boss he's afraid of him because the man is harsh. No wonder the master said, "You knew, did you?" He'd trusted all three slaves, given them great sums of money to care for, even shared his joy with the first two. There is no evidence at all that he was greedy or harsh. This story is not for the faint of heart. It is truly a grim fairy tale. But like many such stories, there is a lesson here. Consider how the master does treat the servants. Think about it. He believes in them. He trusts them with incredible blessings. He invites them into his own joy. That is Jesus' good news. God believes in us. God trusts us with incredible blessings, and we are invited into God's own joy. But what about the other parts of the story? Yeah, God does entrust each of us with valuable gifts, not just financial ones. And yes, God intends for us to use all of them well until Jesus' promised return. Of course, though, the story also says that when we use our talents well, one or five or ten or whatever, we will be invited to take on more responsibility, more duty for the master. Maybe that's why the third slave imagined his lord was mean. Maybe he didn't want more responsibility. Maybe he really was lazy. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, or Bonhoeffer, how do I say it, James? Bonhoeffer? Yeah? Dietrich Bonhoeffer? Bonhoeffer, yeah. Anyway, the theologian, he was a Reformed theologian in Germany in the 20s and 30s. 1920s and 30s, he wrote these words: "The sin of respectable people is running away from responsibility." So here's something to consider. God has showered each of us with gifts, including God's law. Throughout Matthew's gospel, we've heard Jesus teach his followers to love God and love their neighbors. Okay. So given today's reading, I would suggest we are to love God and neighbor by using our precious, God-given gifts, our talents, so to speak, to their fullest potential. We are to take up our responsibility for fulfilling God's law by caring for others in all we say or do. We are not to allow ourselves to fear whatever is going on in the world or an angry God. Instead, we're to courageously look to the repetitive words of Scripture that reveal God's goodness, compassion, mercy. Fear only makes us blind to God's love. It paralyzes us when we're challenged by complicated situations that make caring for others seem impossible. Right now, many of us are worrying about how to enjoy the holidays with this pandemic around. It does sort of feel as though we're living in a Grimm Brothers fairy tale, doesn't it? Or maybe the early 1800s when diseases ran rampant. We so want to be with the people we love, but some of us are fearful. Is being together safe? And if not, what can we do to still celebrate the love we share? These are huge and painful questions, my friends. But God gave each of us a mind, a heart, a soul. We are capable of great creativity. These are amazing gifts. And if we work together to brainstorm ideas, creative ideas will take shape. New ways of connecting will be found. Now, they may not leave us feeling as fulfilled as we might ordinarily, or maybe when we live on autopilot. But then again, Maybe autopilot is fraught with landmines. You know, the family whose table erupts with angry comments. So maybe this is the time to create new traditions, new ways to be together. We may not choose to maintain these ways in coming years. They may only be stopgaps. But oh, the memories we will share with loved ones about this time 5, 10 years down the pike. Using our talents to find ways to love others amidst all this craziness helps us actually overcome our fears, and the best news, it's being responsible to God. My brothers and sisters, God is the master who created us to be good stewards of all life. And this same master loves us, accepts us, believes in us, trusts us, and invites us into God's joy. And it's this love that strengthens us to live with courageous compassion and confidence, even in the darkest and grimmest of times. May it be so.
In his life, God's Son, Jesus Christ, taught many lessons for his followers to live by. He healed the sick and showed us what it means to live as God's good and faithful servant. Let us now respond to his life with words of faith. We trust in Jesus Christ, fully human, fully God. The Bible Dictionary defines stewardship as utilizing and managing all resources God provides for the glory of God and the betterment of His creation. Stewardship is also about serving others with your time and talents. There are many ways for you to help serve in areas of need at Trinity Church. This is your opportunity to take a step of faith and increase your tithes, offerings, time, talent, and sacrificial gifts for the mission and ministry of Trinity. We hope you will continue your support of our church, and if you are able to make an additional gift beyond your normal amount, that would be wonderful. Please place your pledge cards in the little white church in the narthex before or after the service. If you forget to bring your pledge card this morning, you can mail it in or drop it off by the church office. We are so glad you are a part of Trinity Church. Without your past dedication and generosity, our ongoing ministry at Trinity Church would not be possible. We trust God will meet your every need out of His riches in the glory that is found in Christ Jesus.
Let us now hear the words of dedication. Let us pray. Creator of all life, we dedicate our gifts to you.
Help us to use them to glorify you, to be vessels of your work in this world.
Giver of all things good, we dedicate our gifts to you.
May these gifts become tangible reminders of your blessings.
Creator of all service opportunities, we dedicate our pledges to you.
Guide our leaders as they prepare us financially for the upcoming year.
Fulfiller of all needs, we dedicate our life, our hearts, our minds, our financial resources in pledge to you.
May they be used to bless the ministries of spiritual nurture, education, worship, and this building that is used by so many. But may they also bless people who turn in need to Christ's table and transitions, Eastside Ministries, the Super Bowl, Christian Children's Fund, and even services for people's well-being, which we do not yet envision.
Use us, O God, to do your work in this world.
Encourage us to see that we are all ministers called to participate in the body of Christ. Help us to find joy by using us in your service.
Use these gifts, O God, as you deem best.
For we bless them to you in the name of our Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Let us pray. Heavenly God, Master of all creation, You have blessed us with so many amazing gifts. Families who love us, homes to live in, good work to do, the warm temperatures of last week, and even the rain and the crazy wind that's expected today. We thank you for these things with all of our hearts. Oh Lord, we are grateful for so many blessings, and yet we also need to come to you with petitions, with prayers for others. We ask, O Lord, that you bless this world. We are spinning and whirling amongst the planets, and yet crazy things are happening here. There have been unusual hurricanes in this hemisphere in November. There has been a huge hurricane in the Philippines just this week. People's homes are submerged by floodwaters. People have died. Oh Lord, bless this world. Bless us that we may be good stewards of this earth, so that we might find ways to help people live lives in safety and security, even amidst all these crazy weather changes. And Lord, we ask that you bless the leaders of the world. We especially ask that you bless the leaders of this country, not just at the national level, but here locally, for they strive to do good for humankind. Give them guidance. Help them to know your will for all people, that life is good and should be lived freely and healthfully, with opportunities to have an income so that their families can not suffer. And help the citizens of this country continue to remain calm amidst all these changes. The election is past, and while we have seen a bit of unrest, it's not been what we feared. So help us to lead the world by offering peace in your name to all we meet. We can't control the rest of the world, but we can have influence on those around us. And if each of us do that, we know that that will continue to build, because that is your will. Oh Lord, we ask that you bless educators and students. Classes have been closed. Students are starting to have to learn from home more and more. There aren't enough substitutes to serve on the school bus routes or in the classrooms. Help them all to walk gently through this dark night. And help our healthcare workers. As we experience more and more disease, and as people need to have operations or treatment for other illnesses, Our healthcare workers are stressed out. They are tired, bone weary. Give them strength. Give them good rest when they are between shifts. Help them to remember their education that you gifted them, that they may find creative ways to help those in need. Lord, we of course ask that you bless those amongst us who are hungry, who have no shelter to call their own, who are struggling with mental health issues, who are weak or frail, who are physically sick, who are dying. Oh, Lord, bless these people and bless their families. Help them know that you stand with them and are holding them all close for comfort through this journey through the shadow of death. Lord, we are grateful for this life. We are grateful for your word, for the message of hope that Jesus, our Lord, has brought to us. We are grateful that through him you have promised us eternal life. We thank you for so many wonderful gifts, for these are our talents. Talents that we hope to invest wisely for you. Now hear us all as we remember the lessons that Jesus taught us through the words of his great prayer, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Many blessings. We are called to go out and invest those blessings for the good of humankind. So go forth to do just that. Live into the words of Scripture. Love God and love your neighbor as yourself. And as you go out into the world to do the hard jobs and answer the tough questions that lie ahead. Go, knowing that you do not go alone. For the love of God, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ,